All right, we are back this week. We took a break. You know, we took a break from last week where we talked about defiance, and now we're going to talk about disrespect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. All right. Okay. I'm going to stop. But I want us to feel jokingly as we move into this, because these topics are heavy, and I want you to feel and believe. And I know sometimes my coach will say sometimes, you know, sometimes people come to us because they think this is how you are able to respond to that. And I want to live like that. You know, I do this sometimes. If I see somebody, I'm like, okay, they are experiencing a certain result. They're doing things a certain way. I'm like, people live like that. You know, when I see somebody who's like, oh, I do this and I don't worry, I'm like, people live like that. Okay. It opens my mind. So I just want you to know, of course, we're not going to love disrespectful behaviors, and we don't have to allow these we can have our boundaries and all that. But once we're able to look at things in a different way, see things a bit differently, like I talked to you about in the defiance episode, which you can go get either on this page up or down or on the podcast stream. But it's when we look at things a little bit different, we begin to see our kids in a different way, and it's not as heavy. We begin to realize they're just a kid, just like every other kid. They're just doing things that people do. I'm learning how people work, and I'm seeing all hope is not lost. We can make some changes that stick. So the thing I want to say to start is you can and should. I always like to say this. I'm afraid people are going to think that some of the, let me put it like this. So if you assume I don't have boundaries or take boundaries out of the mix, then some of the things that I'm going to say are just kind of sound like we're making our kids, you know, right for acting wrong. And that's not the case, right? Oh, you're just validating your kids' emotions when they just like hauled off and slugged the brother. It's like, no, that's not what we're doing. We can and should have those boundaries around how you want to be treated. You can have those, right? They're actually there whether you allow yourself to have them or not. Say you're in a relationship, you have a friendship or at work, any kind of relationship, and somebody is just treating you in a way that's just disrespectful. And you know how it's like somebody else can see and be like, how do you let that person treat you like that? And it's like you might have gotten used to it, but that doesn't mean you like it. So it is in there, the sense that people shouldn't talk to me like that, or I don't like that. And you can and should have those boundaries. But what I want to do today is talk about and think about how we can be more, again, like I said in the other one, sometimes how we view something affects how we feel. We have a meaning on it that feels so big that then we kind of go in guns blazing and we make everything worse, right? Whereas if we could look at it a little different, we calm down a little bit, our brains let us have some ideas, and we have a better result. So traditionally speaking, and I guess AKA what we all just think here on the surface, what disrespect feels like, it can feel like, or the phrases that we might use when we're trying to say our kid is disrespectful, is that they don't listen to me. They don't care what I say. You know, maybe they ignore me. Maybe there's back talk. So it's almost like their behaviors we can view similar to view them as kid being defiant, but it's almost like by saying disrespectful, it's like they're doing these things about me. You know, it's like we're making it, we're taking what they're doing about us, right? And so again, stay to the end where I'm going to tell you just a little bit about how, just a tool that I use that helps can get us out of this paradigm. But essentially, did I say essentially? I want to say it's a Friday and I'm tired, but it's a Monday, but I'm also still tired. But essentially, it's behaviors that feel like they're doing something that shows they must not care about us. They must not think we're respectable. They must not think we're good. They must not think we're valuable or worthy, or they wouldn't act like that. It feels like their behavior is proof they think something badly about us. That's what's going on when we typically, when we call a kid disrespectful. Now, that said, obviously, you hate disrespect. We all hate the feeling, right? Being a good or positive, kind, gentle, authoritative, whatever type of parent doesn't mean we're allowing our kids to treat us badly. So I like to use this example, not because it's the most common, although it is common, but because it's kind of extreme. But it's like, we, you know, if our kid is mad at us and then they haul off and hit us or kick us, like, you know, what they might be feeling angry. They might be feeling powerless. Maybe they don't want to do what we asked. Maybe they're mad we took their screen away and it's time to do chores, whatever. But that doesn't mean we are okay with them then trying to communicate with us their opinion by kicking us. Like, no, that ain't going to fly, right? It should never be, we think, well, they had to get their anger out. Yes, but not by hitting you, right? These types of offenses, you know, require a jail sentence later, right? So we never have to let them. So I guess I feel like this need for this disclaimer. We can, let me say it positively, we can help our kids understand how they're feeling, understand why they've spiraled or escalated, and we can de-escalate. We can help them get to the bottom of this at the same time as not allowing them to treat us in ways we don't like. Okay, let's put it there. So what are some things that can help with this sort of disrespectful situation? So what can help you de-escalate the behavior is when you're looking at disrespect in a new way. Because if you don't, then you can view all their behavior as disrespect, which will naturally make you upset and mad. And then you go into self-defense. Like I mentioned before in the other talk about defiance, defiance is often a kid in self-defense. But when we perceive our children to be disrespectful to us, we go into self-defense. I mean, who wouldn't, right? It's like, I did this. I carried him up for 9 months. I was up all night for like weeks and then or maybe months, some mamas years, and I do this and I do your food and I do this and I gave my job and I gave my body and I got fat and all this type of stuff, and you ain't gonna pick up one dish from the living room. You know, how disrespectful, you know. And I mean, I kind of say that exaggeratively, but no, that's literally how it goes in my head. Like, I don't know, maybe that is how it goes for me. But what can happen is if they have some behaviors and we've labeled those behaviors as disrespect, or again, if we think them not listening and doing exactly what we said equals disrespect, if we've put those together, then we can almost begin to see almost all, like, tons of behaviors that they have as disrespectful, right? It's like they delayed brushing their teeth. They're disrespectful. They don't even respect me. So now all of a sudden it's like my respect ability as a person is on the line if they don't want to brush their teeth. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I ask you to not leave your dirty socks on the floor, and this is the 14th time you did it. So it's like, I'm so not worthy of value that they would leave their sock. You see what I mean? It's like we've attached some real meaning into the word respect or disrespect. It's a heavy word. So if we begin to label, now am I saying, can they just leave socks all the time if we tell them not to? No. Like, I'm not saying that we should just be like, screw it, do what you want. That's not what I'm saying. But if we attach this deep meaning on these behaviors, like, I am not worthy of respect, I am not worthy of importance, I am not worthy of love because they did this, it's like, I'm sorry to tell you, but your kid ain't got that much power. They ain't in charge if you're respectable. I think I'm getting ahead of my slides. Snap, snap. I was on a roll. But if you begin to view, this is why you go into self-defense, because if you begin to see they're just disrespectful here, 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 and here, now it's like your own sense of being is at risk, and you're going to rise up in a way that's like, it's going to be a lot more harsh, because you're not just going to be defending the boundary, you're going to be defending your actual respectability. Do you see what I mean? And if that's the case, you'll die on a hill, even if it's dumb. It's like, oh, we're doing this socks, and then we're going to have a World War III about a sock. And I'm not saying they shouldn't come pick up their sock. I'm just saying if it wasn't so heavy, then it could have been done in an easier way, right? But if we begin to see their pattern as this big, it's like we're going to make everything high stakes, because our own feeling of being respected or valued is now on the line. And that's just too much to give up on. And we're not going to do it. So my next point here is to avoid this progression, which sets us at odds with our child, which will result in both parties digging their heels in, right? Both are trying to communicate, like, escalating until they feel heard. Okay, so we don't want to get into this escalation is what I'm trying to say. I feel like this was like a run-on sentence. We don't want to keep down the progression of this, because then I'm going to dig my heels in, because whatever you're doing means you don't respect me, but I am worthy of respect. Like, this is the meaning I've put on it. And then they're over there and they're mad because it's like, whatever it is. And then we both do that until it goes on and on. And we don't like that and we don't want to do that. So we want to have kind of a new way to look at it, right? And that is, it is not your child's job to give you respect or importance. I'm going to repeat that again because it's probably unsettling and a bit harsh, but it's going to make you feel good here in a second. So just hold with me. It is not their job, or anybody's job, actually, to give you respect or importance. You have those already. You are respectable, and you are important, and you are valuable. And whether your kids pick up their sock or immediately do the dishes, or that has nothing to do with how important you are. It is not so fragile as that. So often what these behaviors, what they trigger for mom is this issue. When I talk to mom sometimes and they're like, they're just so disrespectful. It's like, what is it you're really feeling when you know, they're resisting or they don't want to do something? And it's like the mom's like, I feel like they don't think I'm important, because if they don't do what I say, they don't think I'm important. But then I'm like, well, do you do everything your husband says, but you think he's important? Like, those two don't go together, right? They need to do what you've asked them to do because it's just, they just need to get on with it and have those boundaries. That's part of what needs to happen. But them not wanting to, say, take a bath has nothing to do with how important you are. Like, them not wanting to clean up their Lego has zero to do with how important you are. You see what I mean? In rationally, you know that rationally now you can see it's a ridiculous thing to put together. If they thought I was important, they would do everything I say. No, they wouldn't. They do think you're important. You're one of the two, or depending if you're a single mom, or, you know, you might be the only most important person in their whole life. That doesn't make them want to pick up their socks or pick up their Legos. They aren't even related. See, but if you think they're related, every interaction in parenting is super duper heavy, because every interaction is proof or not that your kids think you're important. I mean, imagine if every single action of theirs was an opportunity to prove to you that you matter to your kids or not. Jeez Louise, this is some serious, serious, serious overburdened parenting, and it's going to wear you out. But there's good news. Okay. The good news is, if this is the cycle you're in, you have made it about you. So really, it's like there's two things happening. There's your kid just not wanting to do something they don't want to do, which they're going to need to, because that's the boundary. And then there's the meaning you've given to that, which is that you're not important. And so that's what we want to scrap. Because if you no longer felt like, in my mind, I'm super important. These kids, whether they want to do what I say or not, like, ain't got nothing to do with me in that way. Like, they ain't going to make me feel unimportant. Now, we're going to have this boundary and we're going to make it happen. But I'm not triggered by that. So I don't feel this heavy doom, right? That's what we want to kind of get rid of. So we want to frame it away from disrespect to what you want. So you're like, pick up your socks. And then it's like, you know, whatever. They don't care. They just lay there. They look at you, whatever they're going to do, right? It's like, I want them to pick up their socks because I don't like these things on the floor. It's not, they don't even respect me because they won't pick them up. Does that make sense? And there is a sense like, okay, because, or even they're ungrateful. They didn't even keep the house clean. It's like, well, of course they're happy they have a house. They just didn't want to keep it clean. Like, we put things together that don't necessarily go together. And it escalates us. Whereas the goal is, we want to be a level-headed, nonchalant, and keep our boundaries. So, or if it's like, I asked them to do something and they didn't do it, it's like, well, I don't want the kids to delay or hesitate when I've asked them. Doesn't mean I'm not important. It's not like I'm not important to them. No, it's like, I don't want them to do that. I want them to do it on time, right? And then we create boundaries around the things that we want. Because often what happens is, if we started to label everything they do as disrespect, then basically we've now what we're really fighting for is them to respect us. When really the issue, that's a separate issue. We just need to respect ourselves. If you just respect yourself, I don't know how else to say this. This is a whole, I'm not saying this is easy, but Once you realize inside that you respect yourself and it doesn't matter if anybody else ever did or didn't, is when you begin to see that everybody respects you, because it always comes from within yourself. Okay. But I'm going to move on past that and say, in parenting with our kids, it's actually the boundary. So it ain't about respect. It's about the sock. You just want the sock up. So now what are we going to do? What are we going to do to get this to stop happening? Right? So making it about respect means that you'll feel triggered if they don't do what you want, because you think it means you're less than or not good enough, which brings shame in. And so if you feel like they don't listen to you, which means they don't think you're important, which makes you feel ashamed because you're their mom. Also, it makes you feel rage at them because they should love you because they're your mom, or they should think you're important. Then you have a bunch of shame. And what we do with shame, what people do is we want to hot potato it. So if I feel shame, I want to put it on you. So now if I feel like my kids did that and I feel ashamed, then I'm going to put it back on them. Shame on you for not picking that sock up, you nasty slob. You're always going to be a slob or whatever. These kind of extreme thoughts come, and sometimes you might lose it and say them. So it's like if we're allowing them to somehow decide if we're important, and then they don't do what we want and we feel unimportant, we're going to feel a lot of shame. And then shame is a hot potato and you got to get rid of it. So here are some strategies to kind of prevent, quote, disrespect. And one of those is to get on your child's side and be able to understand their position. So we're always going to keep our boundaries, but we're not going to make every choice of theirs, like about how it's affecting us. So for example, if I come from the place of I'm important and I'm respectable and whatever these kids got going on, if they're too young to figure it out, they're going to one day, right? Whatever. And then I ask them to do something and they don't do it. It's like, okay, you know, I've asked you to do this thing. To me, it seems super easy. It's like, for whatever reason, you're really not into it. Like, what's going on here? Yeah, of course, it depends on your kid's age. You know, that was more five and up. But like, you don't want to do it. What, you know, kind of talking with them, getting into it. And okay, well, then here's the strategy we need to create. Here's some structure we need to put in place to make sure this thing I want happens. Or if it's their tongue, you know, their back talking or something, it's like, no, you can't speak to me like that. Actually, I think I need to go to your room so you can calm down. Your mouth is not a, you know, if a child's proven they don't have the self-control to shut their mouths when they need to, instead of saying damaging things, then they don't need to be given access to you or a sibling to be able to do that, right? It's actually protecting them to stop them from doing something that, you know, they don't need to begin to see themselves as this, right? So we can create different boundaries and consequences that we have that keep them behaving in this way that's okay without making it about us, right? It's not like, oh, I need more attention. No, they just need to hold the boundary. They just need to do the thing, right? Because they will actually end up. So when a kid feels like your very importance in life is attached to whether they pick up their sock, put their dishes in the dishwasher, whatever, this is so heavy, they will rebel against this. They do not want to be in charge of your feelings, right? None of us do. You know, whenever it's like there's friends or people or parents or whoever, extended family, it's like you have to watch all their feelings so that you don't walk on eggshells, so you don't make them upset. People hate eggshells. So do the kids, right? So if they're feeling like they're eggshelling, they're going to end up acting worse. This is why we got to get breakthrough this, right? And we can help support them and also help support them in whatever's going on with them. So another thing you can do is journal and decide why you think you are or not important, respectable, valuable, worthy, whatever the word is for you. It might not be important, but it's something like that. And whether you want to give that power to your kids to decide. I mean, I haven't. And in fact, the kids will respond to how you view yourselves, right? So determine your own boundaries, what you like, what you don't like, what you're willing to listen to or not listen to. And don't get exasperated if your child doesn't like them. Like, they don't have to like your boundaries. Kids do not have to like your boundaries, because kids don't have fully developed brains and they don't understand how their current action affects their entire life. They don't. We do. So they don't have to like our choices. We love them to pieces. We can hold space for their disappointment without making it about us, while knowing later they'll get it. They cannot like our choices. Who cares? Them not liking them doesn't make me not important, right? Them not liking that I want them to clean up their room doesn't make me not important. They just don't want to clean up. Cleaning up's not that fun. Makes sense. It's going to happen anyway, though. See, that's a totally different energy than like, they wouldn't clean their room, they don't respect me. Then you feel like a failure as a parent. If you feel like a failure, you feel ashamed. If you feel ashamed, you're going to flop the hot potato of shame onto them. So it also doesn't mean something wrong with them or you. What it means is there needs to be some boundaries around their behavior that will train them to behave in a different way. And they might need, and you might need some tools and training to figure out how to kind of break the pattern cycle of what's happening, to break the go-to thing. You know, there's maybe something lingering under the surface they're feeling that they need to play out, talk out, get out, you know. And so that leads me to the thing that I've taught hundreds of moms that we use in our language of listening, and it's a 30-minute once a week, and you only do it for a couple months at a time, right? So you don't have to do this all the time if you don't want to. Playtime session that we do with our kids, certain toys, and I train moms in these sort of coaching skills that basically help moms figure out and get down to it and help the kids work out what's going on. It helps teach moms a new perspective, I guess is the way to say. The testimonials from this last cohort, I did have 250 moms or so come in, was like, I honestly didn't know I could parent without judgment or shame. One was like, I literally didn't think this was going to work. Crazy. Like, I see my kids' behaviors in totally new ways. Like, actually, what I learned and what I was using, a lot of moms don't know how to have boundaries, and they're practicing in this playtime setting. Because if he doesn't have boundaries, that's a whole nother topic. But what I've learned working with and practicing having these boundaries, I'm just seeing my kids in all new ways. So sometimes what needs to happen to break these patterns and to break these cycles and to break the habits that we have is we need to be able to see what our kids are doing in a way that makes us realize they're not horrible. They're not just trying to make ourselves miserable. And we're not horrible. We're not just, you know, yelling for nothing or getting weary for nothing. Like, it makes sense why we're doing what we're doing. And we can, in some of the tools I give you are what to do maybe in the moment for disrespect or how to view it, a mindset different. And we can pull in another strategy. And I'll tell you about it in another week or two. I'll give you an opportunity to learn how to do these playtime strategies. But that's something that you can do with kids. It's like laying a whole new foundation where there's been holes or there's sinkholes. It's like kind of resetting, restarting, revisiting some of the basics, but helping us see our kids in a different way and be able to learn how to have boundaries and keep them without all the shame and the defiance and the disrespect. So I will you please stay tuned for that. And I'll recap really quickly when we're thinking about disrespect. If you can remove the issue of respect or importance, whatever your word is, from the behavior they're doing or not doing, you will de-escalate. And when you're not as escalated, you will be able to respond better in a way that doesn't make it keep on going. And we will talk soon next week about drama.